Consider your calling. Consider your vocation, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Join me in prayer. Our Father, on this Father's Day, we think first of you as our Father. And we thank you for just the perfect prototype of Father, that you fill that role in every good and perfect way, that you are provider and protector, that you are teacher and mentor and encourager and the lover of your children. And as the Father of all of us this morning, we lift to you your children, the children of this church. We pray, Father, that you would bless these, your children. Bless them as the teachers and leaders continue to invest in them and as parents invest. Bless them as they reach out to friends and neighbors with VBC this summer. As our Father, we pray that you would bless our youth, our young people, as the school year comes to an end, that you would be with them as they spend their time watching over them this summer. We pray as a Father you would watch over families as they travel on the road. We pray as a Father that you would represent and be near to our seniors, asking for patience that is required as they lose strength, as they age, as they lose capacities, as they get frustrated. We pray for your mercy on them. And as our Father, we lift before you our aging and sick parents. We pray for Audrey Hebert's mom. As she declines in strength with her cancer, we pray for your mercy upon her that she would not be in pain. We pray also for Audrey's neighbor, also with cancer, as Audrey tries to share the love of Christ with her. We pray for Val's dad as he is now preparing to move into a new home at Tabor. We thank you for that provision for him. For Karen's mom in California as she continues to recover from her cancer treatments, we pray for grace and mercy, relief of pain in her life. Father, you are our Father. From birth to graduation to marriage and the establishing of our own families, you are our Father in our times of suffering, in the times of loss and of aging, and even in our own decline. In every stage of life, you are constant, a provider, a protector, an encourager, and a lover of your children. And we pray for the grace, each one of us, in whatever stage of life we're in, whatever family situation we have, to appreciate the unique blessings of each season of life, to embrace your grace as it is needed in each season of life. And we just depend on you as our Father. Thank you, Jesus, for introducing us to your family. Amen. I want to begin with a short disclaimer this morning in which I'm going to be saying something this morning that may seem like I'm contradicting something that I said last week, and it's not a contradiction, so I just want to be clear about that and just clear up the perceived contradiction before it happens. Does that make any sense at all? You'll get it. Last week, I spoke of my personal desire. I would love for every person that calls Mountain Park home to be exposed to some kinds of short-term mission opportunity, that every student would consider Bible school, that all of us would consider a career somehow in pastoral ministry, something like that. And I just think that would be great. Now, here's where I might have been misunderstood. You would misunderstand me if you hear me suggesting that a career in some kind of full-time pastoral or missionary ministry is a higher calling than any other career. I do not believe that that's true. I do not believe that being a pastor or a missionary or cross-culture worker is a higher calling. What I believe is this, that I'm not elevating pastoral ministry above other callings. I'm actually trying to restore it to an equal setting. That I just feel like in the last few decades, we have forgotten about this career calling and that we need to be reminded that this is an honorable thing that God asks of us. Now, that was our focus last week, okay? Today, our focus is every other conceivable, viable option for a life of full-time ministry. Today, we want to celebrate vocation as ministry and affirm our missionary calling in every vocation of life. At Mountain Park, one of the things that we talk about is proclaiming Christ and representing the kingdom of God in the places that we live, learn, work, and play. And two of those settings are settings of vocation, the places that we learn and work. These are settings of vocation. And so we want to affirm that every disciple is sent as a missionary, which means that for every one of us, from stay-at-home moms to celebrated fathers on Father's Day to butchers and bakers and candlestick makers, our vocation is mission. Last week was Melissa's birthday, and so we had five of our grandchildren in our home at the same time, and they're all spaced out exactly well, almost a year apart. And as they grow, you know this about your children and grandchildren, as they grow, their personalities start shining through and some of their peculiarities start shining through. And when that happens, we begin to playfully project vocation on these young children, right? If a newborn has long fingers, what do we say? They're going to be a piano player. They're going to be a pianist. I mean, isn't that exciting? And when a two-year-old has a particular affinity for stacking two or three building blocks, what do we say? They're going to be some kind of an architect or a builder or something like that, right? I mean, we all do that. It's fun to do. As we were gathering and preparing our meal together last weekend, one of our grandchildren started making some comments about the food, about how it was prepared or the flavors or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but sure enough, my daughter said, yeah, this one's going to be a foodie. This one is a chef. He just has this natural affinity for food, and he loves getting involved in the kitchen. That's fun. But as they get a little older, we actually take these projections a little more seriously. We actually think that there's something about their natural affinities and abilities that might be a clue to their vocation. And that these affinities, these abilities, are actually expressions of the character of God, the image of God in this particular person. How God has created them in His image, but with a particular creative bent or skill or outlook. These unique expressions are the creation of God, and they can speak to our vocation in serving the purposes of God. Martin Luther articulated what I think is a really good theology of vocation. And in it, he called our vocation a mask. A mask. And he said, you will see a person working in a trade, but the trade is the mask. Because in fact, what you see is God behind the mask, taking the ordinary things of life and serving other people. So the vocation of serving is behind that particular mask of a trade. And so he gives a couple of examples. He says, the baker will knead her dough. And behind the mask is the God who provides the grain from the earth. And the baker is serving the purposes of God by turning that grain into bread to feed the hungry. He says that a mother clothes her children, but behind the mask is a God who provides shelter for his children, for his creation. And so for Luther, the mask of God is when our vocation is a place of serving others. And he says there's an interdependence to all Christian vocations. There's an interdependence where the child needs the mother, and the mother needs the baker, and the baker someday will need what this child grows up to serve. And he says that's the nature of our community. And like Christ, Luther says, we are not here to be served, but to serve. And so he says, in our vocation, we not only bear a unique expression of the image of God as it's stamped onto us with our abilities, but we also serve the purposes of God when we serve one another in community. One writer summarized Martin Luther's theology this way. He said, the Christian life is to be lived in vocation, in the seemingly ordinary walks of life that take up nearly all of the hours of our day. The Christian life is to be lived out in our family, our work, our community, and in our church. Such things seem mundane, but this is because of our blindness. Actually, God is present in them and in us in a mighty, though hidden, way. Now, there is a simplicity to the way Luther thinks about life and vocation. There's a beautiful simplicity to us that might appeal to us. Unfortunately, our world doesn't see vocation that way. Our world has lost its appetite for the mundane and hidden things of God. And our world, and you see this especially in social media, exalts and has an appetite for the brash and for the bold. And when we allow our vocations to be shaped by the brashness and the boldness of this world, our vocations take on a different trajectory. We are all being mentored every day to make our mark in life, to strive for a career of significance. And when we lose the Christian vocation of serving, when we lose our appreciation for the subtle and hidden things of God, our vocation can become a place of misplaced affections and even of idolatry. And this morning I want to share with you three warnings that can undermine our Christian vocation. First, when vocation becomes a pursuit of position or power, it is no longer God behind the mask. From Matthew 20, Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And so without Luther's focus on serving of others, vocation can become a place where we're using others to serve us, our priorities, our interests. We exercise authority. lording it over others to accomplish our purposes. And although this brash and bold leadership is the way of the world, Jesus warns us that for followers of Christ, this should not be so. And I want to be really careful here. I want to be careful not to say that if you are in a position of leadership or power or authority, that that means you are outside of your Christian vocation. I am not saying that. Some Christians, in fact, were glad that Christians are called to vocations of leadership and power and authority, because this is not about position. This is about the heart. Even a person in a position of authority with many staff, with many reporting to them, can and should be the servant. The Christian vocation is of a servant, no matter what the setting. And great leaders serve their staff, just as Jesus served his disciples. He paid attention to them. He knew their strengths. He mentored them. He gave them nicknames according to their unique personalities, the Son of Thunder or the Rock. And he led them to maturity so that they could serve the purposes of God. And he did this by serving them and by washing their feet. And so again, whoever wants to be great among you must be the servant of all. Second, when vocation becomes primarily a pursuit of wealth, again, it is no longer God behind the mask. From Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. This is obviously a very high value in our culture, that when we choose a career, we must consider the potential for wealth. But this motivation can steer you away from the vocation that God has uniquely entrusted in you. When your first criteria is the choosing of wealth, the pursuit of wealth, it is not God behind the mask, because God does not put wealth first. Again, I want to be very clear on this point, that God has created some of us, some of you, with particular capacities for business, for finance, or for vocations that do produce wealth. Producing wealth is not a problem in Scripture. Wealth creates the opportunity for generosity. And generosity is a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gives to the church. And Paul challenges those with the gift of generosity to give generously. According to Luther, the Christian vocation is primarily about serving, and wealth opens many doors to serve the poor. Wealth is not the problem. It is the pursuit of wealth that becomes the problem. And the mindset that would prioritize the pursuit of wealth is the same mindset that would limit the generosity of that wealth. And it becomes a cycle of pursuit and more pursuit. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, the writer says, whoever loves money never has enough, and whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. And there is wisdom here. This world promises that through wealth you will find contentment. But we know through Scripture and through experience that the contentment and the abundance of life that money promises, it cannot deliver. That contentment comes from serving God in the unique vocation that God has prepared for you. And as we seek first the kingdom of God and our role in the kingdom of God, everything else is provided, including the abundance and the contentment that we seek. And so when we choose our vocation based on the potential for wealth, it does not reflect the priority of serving others, and so it is not God behind the mask. Number three, when vocation becomes a pursuit of reputation, it is no longer God behind the mask. I love the words of John 5, verse 41. I actually have these written in my office up on the whiteboard, where Jesus simply says, "I do not receive glory from people." Now this one, this third point, is not so much about the choice of a vocation that we make. This one is about how we behave once we're in our vocation, even a good and fitting and honorable vocation. Because there is an ongoing temptation in every vocation to be shaped by the opinions of our peers. When we work for an audience of one, when we work to serve God, our work is always about integrity and justice and righteousness. Our work is shaped by the values of God. And no matter what our vocation is, if that vocation is to serve, and our goal at the end of the day is to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that's a vocation that comes from the Father. But we can do that same work for an audience of our peers to try to please people, and it changes the trajectory of our work. There is a big difference between working to serve others and working so others will recognize us. I think this is one of the things that struck the disciples about the vocation of Jesus. They were actually concerned for his reputation. They knew that Jesus was breaking with convention. That was not unusual. He was actually offending people, the Jews. And as his ministry and reputation increased, so did the opposition, to the point where the Jews were seeking to kill him and the disciples were concerned for his reputation. And when they spoke to him about this, his response was, "I do not receive glory from people." That serving God and his purposes is serving without regard for reputation, whether it's an inflated reputation or whether it's a reputation under attack. Now, this is much harder than it sounds, but it is the way of Jesus. It is the way of Jesus. So these three cautions I would offer this morning about pursuing any kind of vocation, that no matter what the setting of your vocation, we avoid the pursuits, the priorities of power, wealth, and reputation, and that we embrace a vocation that is focused on serving of others. And in the words of Luther, that will be a vocation where God is present in a mighty, though hidden way. Now, I want to take that same vocation and add one thought to it. Now let's take that vocation of serving and add mission, proclaiming Christ in the places that we work. Without this distinctly Christian vocation, demonstrating the humility of Christ, serving those we lead, serving those who lead us, without that mindset of service, it is very difficult for us to proclaim Christ. The employer who lords his authority over the workers and pursues profit at the expense of people, or the employee who fails to serve with and work with integrity, both of these have lost the credibility to be able to represent Christ. How can we proclaim Christ if our vocation is not as servants of his kingdom? And so our Christian vocation must be an expression of our faith in the kingdom of God. And when the integrity of our vocation is evident, we will have earned the right to speak Christ into the places we live, learn, work, and play. And so you can be a stay-at-home mom, or a celebrated dad, or a pastor. You can be a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. It does not matter what your vocation. Yours is a Christian vocation if your posture is to serve rather than being served. We all have the pressures of the world upon us. It does not stop. These three are not simply issues for those choosing vocation. All three are issues for those in vocation. The temptation to abuse power, the temptation to pursue wealth, the temptation to pursue reputation. The world keeps pushing these things on us, and so we stand together in a community serving one another and representing the kingdom of God in the humility of Jesus, in the mundane things where God is at work. Amen. Father, we thank you for just your simplicity, the way you see our lives. Thank you for the way you call us to something that's much greater than reputation or wealth or the abuse of power. Thank you that you put Christians in positions of leadership and power. Thank you that you put Christians in places where they can earn wealth and serve your kingdom with it. But Father, we pray against the temptation to prioritize these, to get distracted by things that are not first. Thank you that when we seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, the humility of serving one another, that when we seek first your kingdom, all these other things are added to us. And so, Father, we pray for your affirmation in our lives, for your encouragement to stand with courage in our vocation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, just thinking about how to respond to the teaching today. You may be thinking about a career. What career should I choose? Maybe you'd like to pray with someone about that. Or you may be in a career where you're thinking, you know, I think I may have gone off true north just a little bit. And maybe you want to just come and confess to the Lord and pray with someone. Or maybe you could be in your retirement stage going, you know, it's not just in the career. Even in retirement, these pressures are on us, and you want to pray with someone. I would love to be able to do that with you. And so after I close, there's going to be a couple people up front with me, and if you want to pray, I'd love to have you here. But friends, we are God's kingdom people. Let's enter our vocation as servants to those around us, whatever God calls us to. Amen.